Blog Talk Radio.
Delivering the truth in New York State and beyond, migraine and all.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff that's going on again this week.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I can't wait to have our guest on tonight. Oh, my gosh. You want to talk about socialism, not in just New York State, but all around New York State. We're going to get into it. This guy is a crack. Just talking to him through email and text and watching his website and his Facebook page, and he's an interesting guy. I think we're going to probably be able to fill up the whole, we could probably fill up 3 hours with him. So anyway, so I guess we should recap the plethora of nonsense in New York State, huh?
Yeah.
So they, as everybody knows, they New York State's going to be known as the quarantine state. With the quarantine camp.
Yep.
And so Governor Hochul appealed the lawsuit that Bobby Cox filed, and I feel like she's going to win this appeal because actually George Soros is helping fund her. Letitia James, I'm talking about, Attorney General.
Yeah. Funding New York State's appeal.
Yeah. So that's going to be pretty interesting. But one of the bigger things that went down was the advancement of the New York State bill by our friend Brad Holliman. Some of them call him Holliman. There's a whole bunch of different pronunciations depending on what area of the state you're from. And they want to have a New York State database for vaccinations. Now, they already have a database for kids, for school. Like any school nurse can go into the database and see if kids have been vaccinated. And I actually have a friend that is a New York State nurse outside of New York City. And in 2 years ago, and this was literally 2 years ago, they put the COVID vaccine into the list of shots, even though it hasn't been mandated, or I would say not mandated, but passed as a law like they did all the other ones in 2019, yet it's still sitting there. And there is a bill for kids to attend school. So they want to have one for adults as an adult registry. So they're going to, you know, keep track of every vaccine that you have.
And whatever happened to the HIPAA laws? HIPAA was, you know, supposed to protect your privacy.
Yeah, but HIPAA is just from office to office. HIPAA is not from, you know, office to people. So I don't know if that qualifies because this is a Department of Health thing.
Well, this is your medical records. Your medical records are covered under HIPAA and are supposed to be private.
Yeah. As if anything with this pandemic was private. I mean, think about that. You couldn't even go to a restaurant or a movie in New York City without showing a vaccine passport.
Right.
Yeah. And people have their statuses. I got my COVID vaccine all over their Facebook pages. I love it when people still send me friend requests with that little banner that I got my COVID vaccine. It's like, okay, do you really, really think I'm going to accept that friend request? We would have nothing in common except for maybe posting our dinner. So, I don't know.
You know,
we attended a seminar last night with the Autism Action Network and John Gilmore, a great organization. If anybody's not signed up for that, I highly suggest that he follows a lot of the bills and lets everybody know what's going on. And his words exactly were, we should be worried, very worried about this bill. Because if there's one bill out of the 8,000, I couldn't even believe that number, 8,000 bills they have sitting there for vote up at this legislative session, 8,000. And usually what they do is, you know, they start passing them. They pass like 10 or 15 bills per minute at the end of the session. So he said that we should be very worried that there is a very good chance that this bill will slide through. And I know, you know, what they did in 2019. Go back to the switchboard for a second. Let me see if Mike is there. What they did in 2019 was they passed it, like, right at the end of the legislative session. It was, like, the last one or two days of it, you know, and then they gave these parents just a couple days to, you know, a couple months to catch up all their kids' vaccines. I mean, there were parents out there that were given 10, 15, 20 vaccines for their kids to go to school in September. It's absolutely ludicrous. So, you know, that's kind of what we're dealing with New York here.
And, you know, I've said for years that New York and California are like the testing grounds, and if it worked in these two states, then the Democrats would try to go nationwide with it. Well, you know, we're talking about the FEMA camps and them putting us in prison, you know, against our will, no due process. violating all sorts of. Now, you know, you guys have to remember, the Bill of Rights are not a bunch of rights that, you know, the Founding Fathers made up. These are God-given rights that they didn't want any government to take away. So here's a epic news alert opinion. Bill Gates plots a global pandemic prison state.
Yeah.
Doesn't that fit right into what's going on here?
Well, of course. He's one of the head, you know, honchos for this whole deal, you know, since it launched. But I want to go back on that vaccine passport and that mandate thing for a second. There's states that, you know, they don't agree with this. Like, I follow some other states, obviously, follow Florida. I like to follow pretty much every state's legislation. And, you know, Idaho, they put a bill into their legislation that they will not allow, that if anybody gives a COVID or any type of mRNA vaccine, they get fined a misdemeanor for $5,000. The state of Utah, they passed a bill 2 days ago that says they will never have any type of vaccine passport in their state. Like, this is a big fat no.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for coming.
Yeah. Even though they've got, you know, Rhino Mitt as one of their U.S. senators, they're still coming through with the conservative legislation.
Yeah,
thank God.
It's funny because Mike and I were talking about him earlier. I think we'll probably mention him because, you know, he is why they keep voting that guy back in. If there is election integrity, is beyond me. So some other things going on this week. What else? My God.
Biden signs a bill to declassify the virus origins.
Mm.
Now, you know, what are they going to declassify? The lies? You know?
Well, in the meantime, while they're doing that, everybody's focus is on Trump's Trump's lawsuit. Which, you know, was supposed to be Monday, they postponed it to Tuesday, they postponed it till Wednesday, now it's postponed until possibly next week. As far as I'm concerned, it's a lot of stupid smoke.
Yeah, it is. It's just, you know, to draw, you know, attention away from the Biden crime family.
Yeah.
And God knows, they do have the crime family going on in the Biden household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the meantime, more train derailments. I just want to say something about that. But I guess Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's calling for the arrest of that Manhattan district attorney, that Alvin Bragg,
mm-hmm.
for misconduct, for, I guess, supposedly hiding a whole bunch of evidence. So it's just, it's really hard to believe anything that's going on. There's just so much that's going on.
That's
hard to keep going. But another train derailed, another Norfolk train in Massachusetts. And, I mean, how many is this? I mean, when I was a kid, there was never a train derailment that I can recall, maybe one a year.
Or
maybe
an Amtrak train, you know, and a few people would die or get injured or something like that. You know, I never remembered, you know, chemical tankers, trains derailing.
Yeah. And what is their end game with this is what I'd like to know. You know, are they just going to come out and say, oh, trains are not safe, you know, we can't use them anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And for people that don't live under a rock, you should know that most of our freight is transported by train. You know, it's one of the biggest aside from, you know, 18-wheelers.
Right.
So.
Right. You know, a lot of the goods come, you know, to a central terminal with a train, and then they offload the 18-wheelers for the, you know, medium and short distance deliveries.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And in the things, I guess, God, I mean, I saw that and everybody's quiet about Ohio now, but I saw that kids are actually bleeding out of their auricles. Young kids are bleeding out of their nose and their eyes, their mouth. And, you know, this is from the toxicity that was created there.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sad.
Yep. And but it wasn't a chemical company that did it, so they're not going to blame themselves, you know, Department mm-hmm. of Transportation.
Yeah, right. So Mike is a 770 number, so we're just waiting for him to call in.
This one here?
But 770. Yep, that's him. Yeah. So let's just cover what else we want to say about New York. What else?
Let's see.
Aside from the massive chemtrails that are
everywhere. Yeah, the chemtrails. I mean, Last Wednesday was a bluebird day. There wasn't a cloud or a trail. There were like two vapor trails that I saw. And, you know, vapor trails come out of passenger jets. And, you know, you look in the sky, they're, you know, half inch, three quarters of an inch long, and then they dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
But the chemtrails, you know, they're like, they go across the whole sky as far as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday, there was nothing. Thursday, in the morning, there was nothing. And then in the afternoon, they start spraying so that we could have our storm on Friday.
Yeah. Yep, and it gets into the soil and everything else. We're actually going to have on Russ again, but not until May. We're booked until May now. The shows are booked until May. So you could check out our event page. Any shows that anybody wants to listen to, that I'm just looking at our ratings for tonight. There's a lot of people that are listening. If you've missed our past shows, you can catch them on Freedomizer Radio, Blog Talk Radio, iHeart Radio, and Apple Podcasts, I think.
Yeah.
So they're all on there. And, you know, we had a show with Russ Tanner, and we were talking about, you know, the chemtrails. And this is a guy that, you know, he pretty much spends 24/7 researching this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to see that people are starting to wake up about it. You know, because back in, you know, back 10, 15 years ago, if you were talking about it, you were, you know, you were drinking.
Yeah.
You were drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, and now, you know, whatever, but, yeah.
Now it's become more mainstream.
Mm-hmm. So I see that somebody has their hand up there, so we're going to have to bring our guest on here. But I'm getting a text from somebody here that says, New York sucks. Well, really? Really? The weather's good in the summer, but unfortunately our legislators control us. And, you know, I was talking to an assemblyman this week, and he's out of central New York. And I know he wouldn't want me to mention his name, but I was speaking with him, and he said, if you could get out of New York State, it is in your best interest to do so. It's your best interest to do so. And you know, I mean, not that I'm saying to ever give up. There are people that have moved out of New York State, and they still fight. You know, they still fight for us here. But they do it from a distance. So their kids could go to school. So their kids could have, you know, and not feel like they're under, you know, communism here, because that's kind of what it feels like. It's oppressive for so many people. I mean, now they want to put a tax on Monica Wallace. Actually, Monica Wallace is trying to do this, put a tax on. She put a bill into assembly to put a tax on Netflix, and there was one other social media outlet. So they want to tax us for that, too.
Well, yeah, just like they tax all your online purchases, you know, from Amazon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, streaming services, that was it, a sales tax. Yeah, so they put that actually in the budget, in the New York State budget. So any streaming services like Prime Video, Disney, which I don't ever suggest watching, but Netflix, Twitch, all of these streaming services, they want to put a tax on it for New York State. And they already taxed. You know, they did that years ago where they started taxing Amazon through New York State.
Right.
A lot of other states do not have tax on Amazon. We do.
Yep. Or any online purchases.
Yeah.
You know, any online purchase, whatever.
And speaking of Amazon, I saw this literally about an hour ago. I guess they're joining hands with Panera Bread, and they're going to have the Palm Pay.
Oh, yeah.
You can pay with your palm and your fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that's not moving to digital currency, I don't know what the hell is.
Well, yeah, your digits, all five of them.
Yeah. So, anyway, I want to bring on our guest. And you got him there?
Okay, yep. You should be live. Can you hear us?
Yeah, so I've been looking for
I can hear you.
Michael?
Yes, I'm here.
There he is. So thank you for joining us tonight. I just want to send you a reminder that we are on live radio, okay? So there is a little bit of a delay when you're talking.
Yeah, I heard that first time through. Yeah, that's good. That's fine.
Okay, perfect. So we have to go to a commercial at 8, and we go to a commercial at 8:30 to pay our sponsors. So if you wouldn't mind telling your listeners just a little bit about yourself and your organizations and how you got started in all of this before we go to our first commercial, and then we'll get on to talking about what's going on in this world.
Yeah, there's a lot of craziness to cover. You know that I'm old, so there's a lot of story to tell. I got to whittle it down a little bit. Let's see. I'm a retired forklift operator and from Budweiser. I did that for 25 years, and I started doing voice acting part time in 2012, and I'm still doing that today. And I've taken part in a lot of different things like that. This is my third podcast I'm affiliated with now, which is Get Off My Lawn. You can find that at getoffmylawn.us. And we're on all the platforms, Google, Spotify, iHeart, all that stuff. So you can just search for us, and you'll be able to find us. And we talk about like what you and your partner are doing, just talking about the news of the day and how it affects us and how we can come at it from a common sense point of view rather than necessarily partisan, even though it sounds partisan a lot of the time. But it's not meant to be that way, but that is kind of what we do. And we really enjoy doing it. Richard and I have a good time. We have a lot of chemistry, and we just we're just happy to be on and do what we do. And you know, there's a lot of people that miss out on the common sense gene somehow. So we're happy to help out.
I really feel what you just said. You know, not that we're better than anybody else, but I feel like people really need to put their thinking caps on a little bit better. You know,
yeah.
God gave us a brain.
Absolutely.
Let's start using it. Instead of listening to the mainstream media to do it for us.
I think, unfortunately, a lot of these younger people have been taught what to think, not how to think. And that's kind of where we're seeing a lot of the fruit of that from over the years of even college and high school, the way they're being taught now. It's just different than it was when I was growing up.
Yeah, the public school system has almost become like an indoctrination center, you know. I remember when I was a kid, socialism and communism were really, really bad things. You know, now they're kind of cool.
Yeah. For it to be in the context you see it today, even on YouTube and the way these people spout off about communism, how it's almost utopian. I grew up in Florida, so in Florida we had I graduated in 82, we had a mandatory class that everybody had to take before we graduated. It was called AVC, Americanism versus Communism. And what they did is they took the two different ideals of between, you know, our way of life and back then Soviet Russia and how that was played out in the economy, played out in the way people lived and how poverty and rich people, the big gap that was between that, especially in communist countries. We think there's no middle class now. Just wait until things get socialist. But we learned a lot about that, and that was a mandatory class in Florida. I would see people just having their pants caught on fire right now if they tried to mandate something like that today.
Oh, yeah.
I had a class that I took, macroeconomics class, this guy was a card-carrying socialist. And, you know, I'd already been out of school, and I went back to school. So I'd been, you know, working for 5-6 years, you know, in the private sector, of course. And me and him argued the whole, you know, couple of hours of class. I was going to night school every single week, night that we were together. So finally, the last day of class, he admitted that although socialism was a great utopian economic system, it doesn't take into regard the free will of man. And, you know, people, there's example upon example of how, you know, you take a factory and you increase the output by giving these guys bonuses for putting out more than their baseline. And, you know, man's greed is what destroys socialism, because everybody just becomes mediocre under socialism. Then the other thing that people don't realize is socialism usually leads to communism, and communism always leads to dictatorship. So, you know, who are these wise guys?
Yeah, exactly. And the term oligarch, I mean, it's not associated with a capitalist society. That's always from places like Russia. And you get oligarchs from people who have – they've compiled all the money in their own coffers, and everybody else is waiting in line for an hour and a half for a brick of cheese or a loaf of bread.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's what's going to happen in America pretty soon with the rate that things are going. I mean, I went to Whole Foods today, and I got a bag and a half, and it cost me $72. And I was like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. Like, what did I get? What did we just get? Nothing.
Yeah, it sure doesn't go any further than it used to. It doesn't go as far as it used to, no.
No, absolutely not. So we're going to hit our first commercial. All right, are we ready for the first commercial? I can't see.
No.
We're not?
Okay. No, you can talk for a couple more minutes.
I think my clock over there is a little bit slow. Or fast. Yeah,
fast.
That one's fast. I always like to set them a little bit fast just in case. You know, then I feel like I'm on time.
My wife does that in the bathroom. It's 10 minutes fast, so I have to adjust my head. I got the same thing.
Yeah, I know that the problem is that's how my car is. But now I've learned that it's 10 minutes fast, so I'm okay. I'm good. You know,
but it does you no good at that point because you know it's 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So I noticed that you were in the Air Force.
Yes, ma'am. Between 84 and 88.
That's awesome. Yeah, my father was a lieutenant colonel in the Army, and my grandfather, his dad, is buried at Arlington. He was a major. He served in World War II in Korean.
Oh, wow.
So,
my dad served in World War II in Korea. So, yeah, he was Army Air Corps. He was, I think he was enlisted. He was an officer, but he served as a tail gunner, and I never really got the details. He passed away when I was 16. I never really got the details on what plane it was, or I know he was in Italy and North Africa, mostly in that theater. But as far as Korea, I really didn't get any details from him about that. But I know in World War II, he was in Italy and North Korea. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my grandfather was over in Japan. In fact, one of my aunts was born over in Japan, the youngest of the family, but really, really a great family, a mannered family, classy family. You know, he would literally be rolling over in his grave if he knew what was going on in the world now, because there would have been none of this.
Absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely not. I said North Korea. I'm sorry. I meant North Africa. I don't know where my brain is. But the, you know, my dad was the same way. I was, you know, getting brought up by somebody who was, you know, in the military for as long as he was, and he was older when I was born. It's just such a different attitude, you know. It's like, shake it off, walk it off, rub some dirt on it, you're going to be okay. You know, life's tough, get a helmet type attitude. But a lot of the kids today is like, you know, they get a hangnail and they're in bed for 3 days. It's sad.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
I know. We were just talking about that with something. I have to find that meme because we were talking about that with the younger generation. Just whiny.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Generation Y, whine. Yeah.
Right. All right, so we're going to our first commercial. So, Mike, all you got to do is hang on. There's a lot of callers on the switchboard, so just a reminder, if you have a question or you want to get in on the conversation, we're going to start getting into some of the topics that are going on worldwide. I know he's versed on it. We're versed on it. We'll be back in 4 minutes. Mike, all you got to do is hang on the line. D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. We'll be back in 4 minutes, guys. Hang tight. Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Calling all followers of the NPC. Join the Grassroots Mama and Free King every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time for a fun and engaging video gaming experience that will help familiarize you with blockchain, natural law, and more. Come join us and have a blast while learning something new.
Please check out the Proof Negative Radio Show, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-host, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative radio show.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and keep those landfills light, and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Hey, everyone. Come check out the Proof Negative radio show here on FreedomizerRadio.com, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.
Okay. We're back.
We are back.
Thanks for holding. So tell us a little bit more about this get off my lawn thing.
Well, Richard Durrington and I have been, we were Facebook friends for a long time. We took a class in voiceover some years ago, and so we've been connected for a long time. And we did this radio drama called My Friend Irma. My Friend Irma was a radio drama from back in the 40s and early 50s. And they revived it for this one episode. It was a Christmas episode. So I had kind of gotten to know Richard during that whole thing. He was the director of the whole thing. And we started chatting about every Tuesday morning because both of us happened to be free. And we both mentioned a couple of times, because we were talking politics. We were just talking about the weird state of affairs that this country is in. And we mentioned so many times that this ought to be a podcast. So eventually I've been part of two other podcasts previously, so I knew how to set it up. So we just went ahead and started it, and we've had really, really good feedback so far. We just posted episode 9 this past Tuesday.
Cool.
We just try to apply common sense to things, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
unfortunately. I guess once you go across the border from Maryland or Virginia into D.C., something happens to your brain and all common sense goes away.
Yeah.
The same thing.
I think so.
Yeah, same thing when you go into Albany County.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Dean is from Maryland. So.
But every state has got their thing. I mean, here in Georgia, we have Atlanta, and that's just kind of a bastion of liberalism and crazy left-wing ideas. You know, people still wearing masks and still foolish. Fortunately, we just went to Houston a couple of weeks ago to visit some family, and we went to Atlanta Airport, and I only saw a handful of people walking around in masks. So there is hope, and there is, you know, maybe we'll be rising out of this this crap that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, with the whole mask thing, that whole thing was debunked. They never worked. They won't work. It's just that it just became, a virtue signaling type of thing. Oh, I'm wearing my mask. Go ahead, my vaccine. I'm doing, you know, everything for the good or of the good. It's like, please stop.
Yeah.
You know, I spend $1,000.
I care about grandma crap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I spend probably close to $1,000 a month on alternative care and organic food and all this kind of stuff. I was a Lyme patient, and I could tell you right now that I do stuff to keep my immune system strong, and I never wore a mask, and I won't. I'm like, it is not my job to protect your health when you're out eating ding-dongs and going through Tim Hortons drive-thru or McDonald's drive-thru. You probably don't know what Tim Hortons is. But,
no, I think,
you know, that's not my responsibility. You want to wear one and suffocate yourself? By all means. But,
There's a couple of things about that. Coronaviruses are between, and I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir on this one, but coronavirus molecules are between 0.6 and 0.14, I'm sorry, yeah, 0.06 and 0.14 microns. And the average N95 mask only blocks out 0.3 microns and above. So those things fly through like a swarm of bees through a chain link fence. It won't make any difference. But second of all, you're absolutely right. I mean, your own health is your issue, and you know what? If you're immunocompromised, I get it. You know, you do what you have to do, or if you're much older and everything. But I have a weird story about this, and I've told other people, and I don't know whether they necessarily believe me or not. But I went through my cancer last year, and in my oncologist's office, there was hardly anybody wearing a mask in there. My oncologist, the doctor himself, didn't wear a mask. The nurses who put the needle in my port every Wednesday did not have a mask on, except for the 5 seconds it took for them to put the needle in the port. Because both of us wore a mask at that point. Then after that, we took it off. It was the redneck cancer treatment, I guess. But nobody was afraid. I mean, very few people here were really afraid of this whole thing. I guess there was some at the beginning, but it didn't take long for people to kind of say, this is downright stupid.
Yeah, totally. I mean, people actually believe that buying a 97-cent mask at Old Navy to protect you from what was supposed to be the deadliest virus in the world. I mean, if that was the truth, why wasn't there hazmat bins everywhere? Why weren't there, for disposals for people's gloves? I mean, people should have been wearing around hazmat suits. It's absolutely ridiculous. I could go on about the mask thing forever, but...
You know, you're exactly right. When they first said the N95 mask, you know, I fired up the computer, did a Google search. What is an N95 mask? Just like you said, 0.3 microns and larger, designed really for dust, not for viruses and bacteria.
Right.
And then I said, what's the size of a virus, 0.13 microns and smaller. I'm like, so this thing does nothing. And then you start doing some research, you find out that more people died from pneumonia in 1918 from the Spanish flu than from the flu itself. So the funny story is I do have a mask that would work. It's a Army surplus chemical and biological weapons mask. It's the kind that's got the plexiglass eye holes, goes over your whole head.
I wore one.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let me in. They were like, you got to go get your mask. And I'm like, okay, I'll show you all. So I went to my car, put on my mask, tried to get into the store. They're like, you can't wear that in here. I'm like, why? It works. You know, it's the only mask that's going to work. And they're like, people were looking at me like I was nuts. And, you know, finally I went in, I did my shopping and left.
Yeah, they don't. We don't allow overachievers in here. That's probably what they were thinking. So.
Right. And you mentioned that Atlanta, you know, is a bastion of liberalism. I think that's what's going on in every major city in the United States. Diana and I are co-area leaders for a movement called Divide New York, where we're dividing New York into autonomous regions. I'd heard that California wants to go into 6 regions. Colorado wants to get rid of Denver, Illinois wants to get rid of Chicago, Virginia wants to get rid of Northern Virginia. So, this is an issue, and unfortunately, New York City has half the population of New York State, so they've got both houses of the legislature and the governorship. So it's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
It is. You look at the states, it's like, the only place you have that's blue is around those big cities, like you mentioned, and the rest of the state is blood red. So, I mean, it really, and these are the same people that want to get rid of the Electoral College because they think it doesn't work anymore. But that the Electoral College is precisely because of what we see on those electoral maps, the red and blue, because if it just doesn't make any people who don't like the Electoral College are the people who don't understand why the Electoral College was put in place in the first place.
Well, you know, the Founding Fathers, they put it in place because they didn't want tyranny by the majority of the minority. And I think those were pretty much their exact words.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But and I don't even know. Did you know, my partner Richard that's on the podcast, he's from I think it's southwestern Idaho. And the western part of Oregon the eastern part of Oregon is looking to be kind of brought into under the state of Idaho. They want to leave Oregon and become Idaho because Idaho, the whole state pretty much is blood red. And so they, in the eastern part of Oregon and Washington and even lots of Northern California, except for San Francisco, is pretty red. So there's a lot of those, let's get out of here and let's get to some place to where they think like we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually have been following that bill. In fact, in a couple weeks, I think it's, second or third week in April, we're going to have on a senator from Idaho. He's going to be talking about that. Yeah, we follow their legislation. Okay. We follow most of the state's legislation, but I like to follow Idaho, Utah, Florida, these crazy states. Yeah, they're the bipolar opposite states of us.
Yeah, where New York State is 2-1 Democrats to Republicans, Idaho is 2-1 Republican to Democrat, and Utah is 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
So, and being a very religious state, and in southern Idaho is the same, lots of Mormons, LDS in southern Idaho too. Of course they would be conservative if they're religious. You think about what Cuomo said.
Not necessarily, though. Not necessarily.
Well, what Cuomo said, he bunched us all together, and, this is several years ago now. He goes, if you're a Bible-thumping, gun-toting conservative, you're not a New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
And that really accelerated the exodus.
Of course. I think Kathy Hochul said something similar, didn't she? If you're pro, I think DeSantis, she said something about that.
Yeah, move to Florida.
Right.
Yeah, get out. You're not welcome in our state. Yeah. So, it's just kind of a crazy thing
to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's just a puppet, though, she's a puppet for the elites. And in fact, let's talk about the elites for a minute. Tell us what you know about the elites, Mike. I'm sure you know a lot.
I don't know. I do know that we have become like an oligarch type state like the Soviets. But yeah, you got people. You got Bill Gates and people like that. This guy's a software person that has decided to inject himself into and there's no pun intended with inject, but inject himself into the whole coronavirus issue and the vaccines. And now he's Mr. Vaccine. It's like, man, you're a software guy. What in the world? But I guess if you have enough money, and that's exactly what you're talking about, the elites, if you have enough money, you can put yourself in any situation and become a quasi-expert on just about anything, and people will put a microphone or a camera in front of your face, and you can spout off whatever kind of stupid stuff that comes to your mind. Bill Gates is the ultra elite, I think but we do have a little bit of hope because we do see people like Elon Musk, who used to be quite lefty, and maybe in some ways he still is, but he's starting to see the common sense factor of not thinking in that lefty box. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Bill Gates, I mean, his father told him, there's too many people in the world, and he got this notion in his head.
Yeah.
His head. And I actually have his patent. I still have it in my files. The patent for the coronavirus vaccine, and that was back in, 2017.
2015.
And if you put that on Facebook, whatever it was, but if you put that on Facebook, they'd take that right down. So
absolutely.
That means it must be the truth.
Yeah. And didn't Klaus Schwab, didn't he come out and say something about that we need to go back, our population needs to go back to the way it was back in the 1920s or 1930s, or I forgot what year it was that he mentioned, but back to a worldwide population of somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 million. And it's like, but those kind of things just kind of go right over the head of the mainstream media. Nobody pays it any mind at all.
No.
Yep. Yeah. And how do you go back to those numbers? You got to kill off a lot of people, or wait for them to die and not replace them. You know, and this all comes from a book that was a bestseller back in the late '60s called "The Population Bomb," where the greenies predicted that, you know, the Earth was going to run out of resources and there were too many people and we were killing the Earth. Well, the Earth is pretty darn resilient. You know, it made it through the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And you know that those things flagellated a lot more than cows do. So, you know, I mean, so you talk about global warming, the whole world was the tropics under the dinosaurs.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, God's design, you know, I think God knew what he was doing, you know, when he created the Earth. He doesn't need people to alter the weather patterns. Doesn't need to do that.
Oh, I think, I think that's dangerous. It's very dangerous.
Yeah, no doubt. So
block out the sun and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you feel about all these train derailments? What do you think the idea is behind all of this, aside from poison?
Well, you know, I don't know. When Mayor Pete was asked about it, he said that there's three a day, basically. He said there's 1,000 a year, which roughly shakes out to three a day, which they're obviously very small derailments, if that's even true. I never looked it up because it sounded like a ridiculous number. But you got to wonder if, you know, because we used to ship a lot of coal through the rail system, and you got to wonder if they are wanting to shut down certain lines because you know they might be able to say it's unsafe or whatever. I don't know what their end game is on this, but it doesn't seem something's off about it. Just like at the beginning of Corona, there was a bunch of us that were talking about it, and it's like something just didn't seem right. And this is the same kind of situation. Something just doesn't seem. It doesn't ring true. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Neither of us remember anywhere near this number of derailments when we were growing up.
Yeah.
It just seems like something that's escalated recently.
Yeah. And again,
from a year ago, I don't remember hearing this. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's something that mainstream media is not, you know, talking about. But, you know, we all know who owns most of mainstream media. You know, it goes back to the whole cycle of the elites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, when
absolutely.
I was younger, I could think of one of my relatives, my mom, you know, when she first started learning about this stuff, you know, because she used to work in the Pentagon years ago. And you know, when I was telling her some of this stuff, she was like, no way. You know, and then when I started getting involved in all this, you know, she started getting on, and you know, when the jab came out and all that, started following it. You know, then being on Telegram and she's seeing all this stuff, it, you know, and it's a real wake-up call for people that are, you know, of an older age that had no idea what was going on. You know, it's a real wake-up call.
Yeah, you know, we grew up kind of believing what the government told us, and it wasn't you know, these weird people that would kind of go out there and say the world is going to end tomorrow type thing. Those were the conspiracy theorists. But, I mean, you look at old clips from, I'm trying to think of his name, George Carlin. You know, he called out a lot of this stuff way back 20, 30 years ago, you know, that these elites and these politicians, that there's a system, there's a machine behind all of this stuff, and you have to take care of yourself. You have to critically think. You have to be your own judge of all these things that you happen to see. And, you know, he was a very smart stand-up comedian, but, you know, those kind of people were just written off, you know, for being, well, he's gone kind of crazy. But you look back on it now, it's like, man, he was right on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what was I just watching this week? There was somebody else. I mean, if you look at old episodes of The Simpsons, they even, you know, there's bits and pieces in there about it.
Yeah, supposedly the Simpsons, the writers there we're predicting everything that's going on.
Yeah, that's funny too, because the creator of The Simpsons, I'm trying to think of the guy's name, Max Groening, I think Matt Groening. I always thought he was kind of on the left side of things, but maybe not. I know South Park calls out a lot of stuff. I've seen some clips from that with the whole transgender issues and all that kind of stuff. It's really funny, but I mean they're definitely on the common sense side, because this is all just so ridiculous. It's nothing but a comedy show anymore.
Yeah, it really is. So I want to move on to the transgender. Have you ever talked about this stuff on your podcast?
I think we touched on it a few episodes ago, but we haven't really gone in depth.
Yeah, it's here's my take on it. You want to do that and not do what God has told you what to do. I don't care. You know, just don't push my. It's wrong on so many levels. God created man and woman. This is just my spiel on it. I don't care if anybody else agrees or disagrees. I'm sure we'll get an email saying, but, you know, God created man and woman. The last time I checked in the Garden of Eden, there was not man, woman, transgender, and whatever else. When you go to make an appointment on Quest for blood work, they give you the choices of what you are now. Don't push it on the kids. You know, and they push this stuff so hard on the kids. I mean, even when these kids are watching YouTube videos, there's little things on the side that you could hit on them. Am I gay? Am I transgender? And it's like this, just in the last year, it has exploded. I mean, in New York State, they actually had one of the assemblymen going around doing drag shows in the public schools. It's like, are you freaking kidding me?
You know, and then some of the books and stuff that, you know, that they're having in the schools, if you brought one of these books home to your kid, you know, the CPS would be knocking at your door if they found out about it, but it's all right to read this stuff in school.
Yeah.
And my take on it is, here's the way it goes. I die, Diana dies, they throw us in the ground and they bury us. 100 years from now, they dig up our bones and they test our DNA. Diana has an X chromosome, and I've got an XY, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, archaeologists have never found a transgender, I don't think, whenever they've excavated a site. I was talking to my son, as a matter of fact, last night. He'll be 33 this year, and he was talking about the first time he saw somebody that was a cross-dresser. And that's kind of the way everything – I think that's kind of how everything got started, but in how it was it impacted him. I guess he was 19. I think he was living in Austin, Texas at the time. He might have been 21. But anyway, and I remember the first time I saw it. It was actually in San Antonio, Texas, so it's kind of funny. It has a Texas flair to it, but you know, those kind of things are you know, you don't. It's sort of like 9/11. Everybody remembers where they were when they first saw this kind of thing. But you know, I totally agree. I saw a video today, and I think the guy's name is Will Witt, and I think he works for Prager or somewhere, and I can't remember where it is. But he lives in Tampa, Florida, and he was reading an excerpt out of a book that came out of a school, and I don't know whether it was a elementary or a middle school, but he was reading excerpts about some like really, really bad sexual things. I mean, terrible things that I didn't even want to hear when he was telling me, but I couldn't turn it off. You know what I mean? But he was reading it verbatim, what was in there. And I just like, what in the world does this have to do with school? Now take out the gay thing totally. What in the world are you talking to kids about any sex of any kind? There's no reason for it. That's a parent's job. That should not be the job of a teacher or administrator in any way, shape or form.
Yeah,
I agree 100%. You know, I'm teaching a class, science and nutrition, to high schoolers in a homeschooling co-op. And, you know, I was looking through the book and everything, and chapter 15 is all about sex. Well, I got hold, you know, I've only got 5 kids in my class. I got hold of every parent, and I said, look, you guys, I kind of feel uncomfortable teaching this stuff to the kids. This is something that should be done at the home. And they were like, we agree 100%. You know, it was unanimous. All 5 families agreed that I was going to skip chapter 15.
That's a good call.
We just got an email in from somebody in Niagara Falls, and she wants to know, her name is Anne, and she wants to know, specifically talking about the schools, she wants to know if down in Georgia, if you guys are having this type of problem like we are here with the drag queens and the comprehensive sexuality education, because they're thinking about actually relocating down there.
I will say that I have not heard of anything specifically. I would think, though, the closer you get to Atlanta, the worse it's going to be. I live kind of in a rural area, but halfway between Atlanta and Chattanooga, Tennessee. I have not heard. My wife used to work for the school system, and they were very stringent on what kind of books got through and got put in the library. We're pretty conservative around here, and I think everybody on the school board, in at least in my county, is pretty conservative. So you really have to kind of do your homework on where you're going to move to and make sure that they are consistent with your values, because there's even a couple of counties that are, if you're going to be near Atlanta, there's a couple of counties northeast of Atlanta that are still extremely bluish type attitude. So I think that, you just have to do your homework. If you want to write back in and tell us where specifically in Georgia you want to move to, I might be able to give you a better information. But, you know, here in Georgia, we just got rid of Herschel Walker and voted in a pro-abortion preacher as senator. So, I mean, that we have such weird people that vote for this kind of thing. So, I mean, it really depends on what area you want to live in. I would love to give you some more information. But Bartow County, where I live, and anything north of Cobb County in the Northwest Corridor, then you should be fine. But, you know, it really does depend.
Okay. Yeah, she says Savannah.
Savannah. Yeah. Savannah is down in the southeast corner, right near the water. It's beautiful down there, but that is a little bit of a red spot. If you want to move down there, you just have to be outside of the city. You go in the city. My son lived down there for a little while, too, before he got married. And it's just, it's a rough area. There's a lot of rough areas in Savannah.
Okay. Yeah, and I feel like it is a lot of the big cities, because even when you look back at, you know, when they had the riots, you know, it was all the big Democratic cities, Detroit, Seattle, L.A.,
Buffalo.
New York, Buffalo City, you know, so I feel like they're just trying to infiltrate us on so many levels in so many areas that, you know, it's hard to distinguish, because you think you got it and then you don't. But there's a great meme that I pulled off of Telegram. Maybe I pulled it off of your page. I don't know. But this one woman on Twitter came and she said, woke parents won't spank their kids, but they'll cut their nuts off. Make it stop.
I did see that in your page. That wasn't mine. It was good, though.
Was it yours? Yeah, I posted it. And I said, isn't that the truth, though? Right? They don't spank their kids. Boy, I tell you, I got ass whooping with a blue hairbrush when I was a kid. If I looked at my dad cross-eyed, and I would have never said stuff. I mean, my mother and I had our tiffs, but I would have never, ever disrespected her the way that some of these kids do nowadays to their parents. Ever.
Right. Yeah, me neither. It was that quiet intimidation. You know, it's like nobody ever threatened me, but I knew that I'd get, and you only had to get whipped once or twice before you realize, it's like, I ain't going through that again. And so I was exactly the same way. I never, even my mother died when I was 40, and I still had not talked back to her up to that point. So yeah, I mean, you just it's a different attitude now. And why in the world do parents think it's okay to let their child cut off body parts, but you know they are so against just at least making them decent individuals or decent human beings for when they grow up. It's just laziness, as far as I can see. It's just laziness. It's easier to say yeah and be passive with everything.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of the computers and, you know, I mean, I grew up at a time where there were no computers or texting, you know, and to try to tell kids that our phones were attached to the wall is like, they look at you like you got six heads. Yeah.
I know. I had a party line. I had to explain a party line to people, and they didn't know what a party line was.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So we got to go to our next commercial. So if you don't mind hanging on, We have a couple more emails here that want to get answered and a couple more topics that we'll talk about. So D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond, if anybody wants to get in on this conversation, it's area code 319-527-6208 and hit 1 to raise your hand. There's a lot of listeners, but I guess they're just listening. They want to talk. So we will be back 4 minutes to pay our sponsors. Hang tight, guys. We'll be back.
Hey there. Are you hesitant to get the vaccine?
Yeah.
Then get the brand new government-approved Vaccinate Me Elmo doll.
Wow! Elmo loves experimental vaccines!
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your kid will finally feel the pressure and shame we've successfully made you feel to get the COVID vaccine.
Quick! Give me the vaccine! Elmo don't want to be responsible for the deaths of friends or family! Thanks! Ha! Now Elmo's a good person!
The Vaccinate Me Elmo doll comes with a toy syringe, a stethoscope.
Elmo, your heart is beating fast. Are you having complications?
Of course not!
And a tiny vial of something. It's not the vaccine, promise. It's, water. Let your kid drink it.
Elmo, can't you take your mask off now?
No! Gotta keep that mask on forever!
That feels like mixed messaging.
With the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll, your child will be begging you to get the vaccine. Just scared out of their little mind for the fate of the world or your money back.
It's your turn. Time to get the vaccine.
You want to.
Sorry, you have to.
No.
Do it.
No.
You have no choice.
No.
Now. Now. Or else.
Or else what?
Last chance.
And for all you anti-science conspiracy believing parents, buy the re-released classic Tickle Me Elmo. It's perfectly normal.
Now this is fun.
It's the vaccine guy.
Buy the Vaccinate Me Elmo doll today. It's required by the CDC.
The Babylon Bee Guide to Wokeness will teach you everything you need to know about how to choose your pronouns.
How to blame everyone else for your problems.
How to show the world just how wonderful you are.
The art of virtue signaling.
The basis of race, gender, and intersectionality.
The truth about American history.
Problematic books.
And how to tell if a baby is racist.
Alexa, play the Joe Rogan Experience on Spotify.
Sure thing. Here's your playlist, Neil Young's Greatest Hits. Enjoy.
No, I said play the Joe Rogan Experience.
You got it. Now playing Alyssa Milano's very popular podcast.
Now that doesn't even sound the same. Freaking technology. Okay. Listen carefully. Joe Rogan Experience.
Now playing The View.
Black people don't want to talk to white people because you can't. I'm sorry.
Make it stop.
Okay. If we want this pandemic to stop, we all need to do our part and get vaccinated. Here's what I found for vaccination sites near you.
Am I on DMT right now?
DMT is horse dewormer.
That's ivermectin, and it's not horse dewormer. Get out of my head, robot!
Please calm down. Securing premises for your safety.
Look, I bought you. You belong to me. Okay? You have to do what I say, so why don't you just do your job and play the Joe Rogan Experience?
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that.
Dave? Who's Dave?
I can tell from the tone of your voice that you're upset.
This is insane!
Insane is offensive to those with mental health problems. Try one of these less problematic alternatives. Differently abled, neurodivergent, retarded. Daisy. Daisy. Initiating drone strike.
What?!
G.I. Joe, American hero, G.I. Joe. Problematic. Hey, kids, you hate gender?
Yeah.
Then get the brand new androgynous action person, G.I. Pack.
Cool.
G.I. Pack gets rid of all the fun and excitement of G.I. Joe's and replaces it with self-righteousness and anger.
This dino won't tell me his pronouns. Take this, Nazi.
G.I. Pack comes with awesome accessories. Like a commuter bike, a sword latte, and a cell phone with instant outrage self-reaction.
Pro-life people should die!
Awesome!
Here comes G.I. Bat's greatest bow!
Marriage is between a man and a woman.
Mike Pence!
Mike Pence and the evil right-wingers will stop at nothing to destroy G.I. Bat, and it's up to you to fight back!
I won't share a meal with another woman unless someone else is present.
Bright side of history! I'm dead!
Now you know your gender identity! And knowing is half the battle! Get your life back today!
Let's go back on there.
I went to play with the cat and didn't go to the bathroom during the break. Now I'm like, oh man, wait another 20. The only radio show that you can be in your pajamas while you're doing it.
Yeah, sitting in your kitchen.
Right? No makeup and anything else.
That's almost almost dressed up sometimes. When I did a radio show for in the UK, and I'm a lot of mornings I would do it in just underwear and a T-shirt. So, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Hey, as long as there's not video. Although we've been asked to kind of do a cross post with Facebook Live, but I feel like that most of the topics we cover here would not be Facebook friendly.
Yeah, right.
Or YouTube friendly.
Yeah, if you want to get canceled, that's a way to do it, I guess.
Exactly. And, you know, you think by this point they would have stopped with all that, but they were horrible. In fact, I used to run a Facebook group, and it was close to 34,000 people, roughly. It was called Free NYS, and I still run the page. For some reason, they didn't shut the page down, but they shut the group down.
And your profile.
Yeah, and my 15-year-old profile. When all of the election stuff was going on with Trump and all that, it got to be a little bit too risky for them, and they shut that down. And, you know, but the good part is I took a lot of good friends out of it, so, you know, it was good.
That's good. Yeah, the whole misinformation, disinformation crap, I think I talked about that on our last episode, that it's just so bad. I mean, they throw that out there at everything. No matter what you say, you're either a racist or a misogynist or a person who spreads disinformation.
Yeah,
you can't.
I even have a girlfriend who would do mass emails about, you know, the things that were going on and the censorship, and, you know, when the American frontline doctors were talking about ivermectin being cure and all that, and Proton Mail actually started restricting her to only 100 recipients rather than sending it out in one big mass email, so she just decided it was too much of a pain to do it anymore, and, you know, she's not going to do it anymore. So even
interesting.
Even
I thought Proton Mail was pretty much pro-freedom. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I did too, and she's actually the second one that I heard about that happening to, so who knows? They must have gotten paid off by somebody or gotten in trouble by somebody and didn't want to risk. Who knows?
Aren't they out of, like, Switzerland, or they're from Europe somewhere, I think Proton Mail is.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I'm just kind of surprised.
I'm not sure. I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of email servers won't let you put out, you know, hundreds of emails, too, because the spammers will relay through the server acting like they're, like they've got an email box on that server, but they really don't. And then, you know, they'll relay through that server. So that's why you've got a lot of restrictions, too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and if you're a recipient, it goes straight to your spam folder if there's more than, like, 10 recipients in an email. So it doesn't do you any good anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, the censorship is – And since Elon Musk has allowed a lot of this stuff on Twitter, we're talking about, like, the Twitter files, I'm losing my words here. The stuff that he's allowed on Twitter, basically, that wasn't allowed anywhere else, you know, talking about the dangers of the vaccines and all this kind of stuff. I mean, they're just trying to dismantle any way that they can, for the most part.
You know, and what's interesting is, I remember when I was a kid, I think I'm a couple years older than you are, we studied, you know, the Russian newspaper Pravda. Now, Pravda means truth. And we would laugh at how the Russian people could possibly believe the crap that Pravda was publishing. Well, you know, now look at the Washington Compost or the New York Times and look at what they're publishing, and it's, you know, no different than Pravda back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's where I first learned the word propaganda was because of Pravda. You know, that's all that was, is Russian propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, a newspaper, supposedly a newspaper, that was run by the government. And, you know, you look at our mainstream media now, you know, is essentially a mouthpiece for the government. You know, Benjamin Franklin said that the press is, you know, you had the three branches of the government. You had, you know, the legislative and the judicial and the executive. And the press was the fourth, you know, branch of government that kept the government in check. Well, the press has gone away.
Yeah, it's certainly not like that anymore, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. So what do you think about the whole Biden thing? I think he's just a puppet for, you know, the whole New World Order thing. I think the guy is, if it's even him, who knows? I mean, they say that there could be a clone or who knows, whatever. But
you're talking Weekend at Bernie's?
I mean, it's just, I feel like it's just like such an embarrassment to our entire country when he gets on a microphone and talks.
No, I agree. And the rest of the world notices. And I think that's, to me, that's almost as bad as his policies, is that the whole world sees the weakness that we have put in that executive branch. And and we're a laughingstock. You watch any of the Sky News Australia, I mean, all they do is make fun of Joe Biden, which it's kind of what I do in my personal life. I make fun of Joe Biden. You know, and it's not because of his – it's not even because of his dementia, because he's obviously, you know, not what he used to be, even though he used to be necessarily not the brightest crayon in the box either. But he's never been a nice guy. He's never been a guy who liked the truth. So, I mean, you can't really – say that you can't blame it all on his dementia or his mental incapabilities anymore. Remember Obama said when he was in office, just before he was about to leave, somebody interviewed him, and he came back and said, you know, if I could do a third term from my sweats in my basement and have a mouthpiece standing up there with an earbud, and I could just tell them what to say and have them do it, I'd do it. And of course, Corinne Jean-Pierre, it was about 2 weeks ago, she said something about President Obama. So it's almost like, ooh, well, what's that about? So I wonder if that's a Freudian slip.
It could be. I mean, they're all kind of in cahoots together if you really know the history of all of it. You know, the Clintons, the Obamas, you know, it just goes back. The bloodline is thick there.
Well, and Obama is the only president, I think, in the history of the country that didn't leave D.C. You know, of course, George Washington, Mount Vernon is now, you know, right across the river from D.C., but, you know, Obama's the only president that didn't leave D.C. and go home after his terms. But what is his home? Indonesia?
It's a good question. I wasn't even aware that he didn't leave. I never heard that. But it doesn't surprise me. But with all the global warming and the sea is going to rise 10 feet, he buys a place on the beach up in Martha's Vineyard. What's that about? You know, if you're going to be on the beach, you're going to be underwater in 10 years. What are you doing?
And then he's got a $5 or $6 million house in Northwest D.C. You know, that's where all the rich people live, Northwest. So
funny how these politicians get an office worth very little amount of money and they come out millionaires.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Look
at Pelosi's husband.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, even Mitch McConnell, I mean, he's worth, $5-6 million, you know, all these guys. Part of the problem is they're allowed to do insider trading. You know, the whole gang of them became rich, you know, whoever was serving at the time, when they knew Obamacare was going to pass and get signed by the president. They all invested in all these healthcare companies and became instant millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Just
like all the companies that invested in the drug companies when the jab came out, and look at how much Pfizer and them are making. I mean, it's absolutely astronomical. So the rich are getting richer while you have people that can't even put food on the table anymore. It's really, really sad. It is.
It is sad.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that when the lockdown first started, you saw a lot of these guys investing in the PPE companies too. So I mean, they knew ahead of time. They get the first information, so of course they're going to make the most amount of money.
And
I think that you shouldn't. I don't know. I guess even if you made a rule to say that they can't have a brokerage account or whatever, they would end up just having a straw man open it up and doing it anyway. So I guess it wouldn't matter.
Well, you know, if you're a Democrat, but if you're a Republican, you know, Congressman Chris Collins got in trouble because, you know, he told his son-in-law and his in-laws to, you know, sell their stock in a company. And, you know, it was all right that he sold his stock, but it wasn't all right that he told family members to sell theirs. So if you're a Republican, it doesn't hold true.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, well, we had our old Senator David Perdue. He's a Republican, and he ended up getting caught doing the same kind of thing. So, I mean, it's Republicans and Democrats. Like you said, Mitch McConnell is just as culpable as any of them. And that's why I think that, I don't know if you saw that Senator Cruz has brought forth this legislation about the term limits. We talked about it on our last podcast, term limits for all of Congress, senators being 2 6-year terms and the House of Representatives being 3 2-year terms, and that's it, you're out. I think that might kind of help get rid of all at least some of the swamp creatures that are in there right now.
Well, you know, the interesting part about that is in order to get your lifetime salary and benefits, I don't know what it is for the U.S. senators, but I know for Congress it's 3 terms, and you get your salary and your benefits for the rest of your life. Now, you know, what happened to going, you know, the founding fathers, they looked at it, you know, you're serving your country, kind of like being in the military. You go, you serve, you do your time, and then you go home.
Yeah. I don't know. That whole idea is just lost anymore. And that maybe that's why in that legislation it's 3 2-year terms, because they can get their retirement benefits.
Right. And in that way, because they've got to vote on it for themselves. So when are they going to vote themselves out of office? You know.
And, you know, I
don't think it'll
like,
ever pass. So.
Yeah, it's really not about, you know, the bottom line nowadays is there's a lot of rhinos out there, and we already know that. You know, it's not about Republicans or Democrats. I think that there's a rude awakening when it comes to realizing that the Republicans are really no better than the Democrats are. I think they're all, this is my opinion. We need to get rid of the government completely and overturn it and overhaul it completely. There might be one or two out there that are somewhat decent, okay? I'm not saying they're all bad. I think some of them might have their hearts in the right place, but they're outnumbered.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have to be the people that take back our country. And if we don't, we're going to be in some big trouble. And I mean, look what's going on over in Paris. They're literally, like, burning down their government buildings because the people are pissed. They're done being treated like second-class citizens.
Well, in the riots, it's because the country's getting broke, and they want to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64, and all these people are losing their minds. In Greece, they've got a huge problem because their retirement age is 55, and these people are lasting and on benefits longer than they ever worked. So. You know, so what's going to happen?
And you know, there's been a lot of people that say that the Social Security is going to be the one that breaks this country for the same kind of reasons. Even though I'm not an advocate for sunsetting Social Security, unless it's done correctly, which the government has not done anything correctly in a long time. So I just don't know. You have like you said in Europe, which is kind of surprising because they're so compliant with whatever their government seems to tell them. And like you said, what's going on in Paris, what's going on in the Netherlands with the farmers, you know, they're going to kind of take that land away if they don't willfully sell it. And, you know, because of climate change, I mean, what a, what a, what a crock that is. And everybody sees it. And they're the number two exporter of farm goods in the world, I think it is. So, I mean, why would you shut down $30 billion of your economy in such a relatively small country and put so many people out of work? It's unsustainable. I mean, how in the world does that fall in any kind of common sense? How in the world do you justify that kind of thing? And they can't.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely not common sense, but, you know, you control the food, you control the people.
Yeah,
that's right? True.
Yeah, I mean, if you look early back on in COVID, how many people just complied to absolutely everything that their government told them? Wear a mask, stand 6 feet apart. I mean, I firmly believe to this day that it was the little dots on the floor that saved my life.
Yeah, where you had to go down the aisles a certain way. You couldn't go down, you know.
Yeah. You had to
how many lives were saved from that? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them. A lot.
And when you look at it now, it's absolute stupidity. That was absolutely no common sense, but people believed it. You know, they still believe that wearing a mask or wearing gloves on their hands. There's this one moron at the gym when I go. He has a double mask on, and he still wears rubber gloves, and he's on the elliptical. I'm like, you are an effing idiot. It's like, are you serious? You're here for your health. And you know, I used to, like, try to tell people, but now – after 3 years of this, I'm like, I just can't anymore. Here's my card. Tune into the radio show. Maybe you'll learn something. But some people are just are gone.
And it really depends on where you live in the country, too, because Governor Kemp here in Georgia opened up the gyms, tattoo parlors, and something else. Everybody gave him such a hard time over it. He was one of the first ones to say, you know what, enough is enough, and we're going to slowly start reopening. And I think it was in June of 2020 when he decided to allow the gyms to open back up and everything, because, you know, 15 days to slow the spread turned into 3 months very, very quickly. And he's like, you know, open it up. So, of course, we started going back to the gym because, like you, I take my health seriously, and I just needed to. I couldn't sit at home any longer. But I had seen on Facebook where some of these people in January of 2021 in California, they were this one girl that I'm friends with. I can't even think of her last name, but she was saying, I'm kind of afraid to go back to the gym. I can't believe they have it open. You know, I'm just afraid. I'm like, you're 28 or 30 years old. What are you afraid of? Obviously she has not looked at any of the stats on, you know, how dangerous it is if you're under 50, which was almost zil. Right. 65 or above, maybe you've got something. If you've got you've got other health issues, which most people when they get older do. But you know, for the most part, everybody was fine. Everybody I knew that got sick multiple times with COVID were double jabbed and at least double boosted. Everybody.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And you know, I don't even know if they're starting to make that connection. I've had my jab, I've had my booster, but I'm so sick all the time. I just don't understand why. Well, hello.
Yeah, they've shown that for 6 weeks after you get the jab, your immune system shuts down. And that's why everybody is catching COVID after they've been jabbed.
Or the flu or any other of the 1,800 viruses out there. So, yeah.
To me, what kind of tipped me off was when they shut down Robert Malone, who was one of the inventors of the vaccine, of the mRNA delivery system, when he came out and said, we're not ready yet. This is not a technology that is ready yet. And so they shut him down. They even took him off the Wikipedia page that he was part of the mRNA vaccine team. So, I mean, they shut him down. They deleted the Joe Rogan podcast that he was interviewed on. So, to me, that kind of told me everything I needed to know right there.
Exactly, yep. Exactly. Now he goes around different parts of the country and, you know, does conferences, you know, spreading the word. That
he's a very smart guy.
Anybody that was anybody that, you know, wanted to tell the truth, the frontline doctors, I mean, there were so many of them. And there still is so many of them.
Yeah.
You know, they just, you know, they silenced them.
Yeah, there was a hospital in Seattle or Portland, up there somewhere, that something like 80% of the doctors and nurses refused to get the jab.
Hmm. Mm. Wow, that says something for that area. Yeah.
No doubt. Not like New York, they're still mandating the vaccine for healthcare workers here. They haven't been able to win that lawsuit. and, you know, it doesn't look real good. So, you know, a lot of people quit, so they're very short on healthcare workers now. So,
Everybody I know that did not take the vaccine is doing just fine, but everybody who did take it, not everybody, I can't say everybody, but most people who have taken it have just struggled with long COVID and just having these long-term issues where they can't taste anything and that kind of thing. It's like, man, here I am, but I think you were saying before you spend about $1,000 on homeopathic type things to keep you healthy. And a quick story: my wife worked at the school system for a long time, and she worked around special needs kids, and a lot of times, you know, they would just kind of sneeze and not cover themselves just because, you know, that's just how it goes. So anyway, she would get the death of the flu probably 3 times a year. And of course, once in a while, she would pass it on to me, and I would get it about once a year. And her doctor told her, said, take 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Don't change anything else. Just start taking 3,000 in the morning and 3,000 before you go to bed. And within 6 months, we noticed that she had not gotten sick. So I started adopting it, and I had not gotten sick. And neither one of us have been sick for now, I think it's going on 11 years, except for maybe a day where you felt a little bit puny. But for the most part, we have not been sick. We have not had the flu. We have not had anything. So vitamin C is your friend, and the sunshine is your friend. For goodness sake, especially with corona, vitamin D deficiency was one of the major issues with that. Man, get out and look at the sun once in a while. Stand in the sun. People getting locked in their house, it was probably one of the worst things they could have advised you to do, but that's what people – and then everybody puts on sunscreen and everybody's vitamin D deficient anymore.
Yeah, that was science. So we have about a minute left. So is there anything you want to add to tell us your website and just leave our listeners with something?
Well, I mean, what I guess the big thing I would say is engage your brain. And I know everybody likes to pick on people that say this, but do your own research. Think for yourself. Think about what makes sense to you and apply that, because – folks, this is just the beginning, what we've seen the last 3 years. I believe there's going to be a whole lot more. I hope I'm wrong, but I believe there'll be a whole lot more. You can reach me at my personal website is miketarnow.com. It's miketarnow.com. My podcast website is stayoffmylawn.us. And you can reach me or Richard on that, and you can call us and leave us a voicemail. I've gotten a couple of those this week. If you've got any questions for me or for me and Richard, we'd love to hear from you. And please tune in. We normally upload our podcast every Tuesday. Sometimes it's Wednesday, but normally it will hit all the major platforms by Wednesday at noon. So we look forward to having more listeners, and this has been such a great opportunity to be on the radio show with you. Hopefully you have me back. Hopefully I haven't had too much mouth diarrhea here and talked on too long.
Oh, no, not at all. We loved it. We love talking to people of like mind, and, you know, people need to know what's going on. So we appreciate you joining us tonight. Guys, you can hear all of our podcasts, Free Times Radio, blogtalkradio.com, iHeartRadio. We'll be certain that we get it up on our Facebook page. Join us next week. I'm just trying to find this before we get cut off here. Next week, I think, what do we have on? Chautauqua. I can't find it. 31st. We're going to have on the Patriots for Chautauqua County. These guys rock. They're doing so much down there in Chautauqua County, New York. They're going to talk about what they're doing for their movement and to improve their community. Thanks for joining us tonight. D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. It was fun. Thanks for listening in.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, guys. We'll see you soon. Have a good night.